Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor.
Coming to you live from the Wicked Curiosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's the Falling from Grace podcast.
Wonderful people, welcome to the Falling from Grace podcast show. I am Angel, you know, your host. Tonight is Dan from Behind the Screen and Cinephiles, Alex from the Cinephile show, and special guest tonight is Dr. Stephanie Smith-Durkin. Super excited. Special show tonight because it just falls in line with my normal amount of shit stirring in, you know, our community. Whatever. If you want to keep tabs on what's happening in Wicked Curiosity Media, all of the shows that we do, you know you can find us on Facebook. You know you can find us on Instagram most of the time. We're on YouTube. We are also on iTunes. Well, I'm not. Dan shows are. I am not.
All of Wicked Curiosity Media is on iTunes.
But not on YouTube.
No.
And soon enough, you will be able to follow us on TikTok. So there is that. We also have a website. It has some need of being updated still. You can go to Wicked Curiosity Media's Facebook page, click on the link. I don't like to give the address. It's too long. I don't remember it. You can also call in and talk to us live at 718-664-9735. And you can also follow us on our Facebook Live feed, and we will, or someone will, respond to you there. So I'm not one to beat around the bush. Let's just get into it. This week has been huge in this little bitty town outside of Knoxville because last year a teacher was... what's the word? Ostracized and created quite a stir in one of our local elementaries for a book that she introduced in her art class called Something Happened in Our Town. Now, I encouraged everyone and challenged everyone to go listen to the story, if not read it, whichever. It has created she has currently, my understanding, has been transferred to our school, which is where my children go, and was the reasoning behind tonight's show because I watched this whole community blow up and freak out. When I posed the question, was this a one-time issue? Is this something she's known for? Because I will say it was an art class. This book was outside of the scope of her class. It wasn't her place. But is this something she's known for? Are we all hating this person because she wrote a book to the class and the book had to have a subject matter that made people uncomfortable? And, you know, I'm all about making people uncomfortable. So nobody could answer that question. It literally only, and I meant on a teaching level, it literally only went to this one moment. And the fact that she is problematic on the school side as far as lawsuits and being a bit radical and outspoken, within the teaching community and the school board. Now, for only the purposes of the subject matter of the book, I will say she is a white teacher, she is an art teacher, she is an elementary school teacher. The book was read to fourth and fifth grade students. I personally, yes, went and listened to the book for myself because I don't know, we should be educated. Also had my co-hosts sit and listen to the book themselves. I will point out that I look at most subject matter when it comes to race and equality from two sides of a fence because I have a very diverse family and there are many nieces and nephews and, I mean, sisters-in-laws, brothers-in-laws. I have a very diverse family, so I'm definitely not looking at it from one polar point in the racial discussion, and we shouldn't be anyway, but I digress. With no further ado, I am also going to welcome our guest to the show, Dr. Durkin.
Hello.
Are you there, Stephanie?
Thank you for having me. Yep, I'm here. I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Can I first say that it's actually really cool that in all of the shows that we have done, both, you know, my platform, your platform, it's really cool to have somebody that's really knowledgeable about all these aspects. And to put it bluntly, it's kind of cool to have a doctor with us.
Right? She's so smart.
She is.
Well, I have to say, I'm not a doctor yet. I'm dissertating right now, so I'm almost there.
Well, we're going with Dr. Durkin.
Go ahead, man. Look, it's already there. We already know it.
Now,
I do want to put
out there that I have asked, you know, our listeners, our community members, if you're going to call in or even comment on the post or the live feed, just be respectful. This is a platform for discussion. Do I talk about the crap that makes you uncomfortable? Yes. Does it need to be rude and aggressive? Not really. So let's all be adults and somewhat, I don't know, mature. Let's go with that. So, Stephanie, did you get a chance to – have you read the book before?
Yes, I have. And I guess I can just, like, introduce myself a little bit, too, to share my
– Absolutely, please do.
Expertise. Yes, and so I am Stephanie Sif-Durkin. As was mentioned, I am a doctoral student in the Counselor Education and Supervision Program in Virginia. I'm also a practicing school counselor. I've been a school counselor for quite a few years, and I've worked with children and families for about 20 years. And so my areas of, like, research, writing, and everything else, I focus on education equity, racial justice, cultural competence, and things surrounding those topics.
Which is why we called her.
And so I have read the book before. I also want to mention that I have, like, two little ones of my own, like two little boys. We've read the book, and then I've also, like, used it in both practice and also use it in classes that I teach, because I also teach, like, current master students, too. And so I've used this book. This book has been a topic of conversation quite a few times, yes.
Do you think does it surprise you that it has created such an issue in the southern states? Tendency to be obviously more pronounced.
I would say yes, and it does not surprise me that this has happened. And I'm not familiar. Again, I said I'm from Virginia. I live in Virginia, so I'm not too familiar of the news that what's happening in Tennessee. However, I have done some research since we communicated about me participating tonight to see, like, what the uproar was. And I would have to agree that, and I think that the teacher had good intentions. However, just because we have good intentions doesn't mean we need to act upon those intentions.
Right.
because when we have to, and these are difficult conversations to have with kids, especially elementary age kids, we have to make sure the things that we discuss with them are age appropriate. And so when we discuss topics in regards to like police brutality, racial inequality, racial justice, things like that, it's always important that we are equipped with the skills to broach those conversations with kids. And I'm not saying that she's an art teacher, she can't have these conversations, but I also think it would have been, if she were to introduce such subject matter into her work, I think it would have been beneficial to have like a school counselor there or an administrator there, if that was approved curriculum.
Right. Now, they're saying that it was not approved. I'm having a hard time believing that, but that it is not approved curriculum for Knox County Schools, to be exact, which I'm a little unclear about, just because we do talk about Black history. We do talk about racial inequality. We obviously at age-appropriate levels, but we do talk about these subjects. I'm actually a little surprised that it's not something that we carry in our libraries. It's where, you know, we have kids that are more mature. Kids are not stupid. They know how to ask questions and things that interest them. And I, looking it up, the book is available in many, many school libraries, elementary school libraries, not in ours, which is where she got the unapproved curriculum from. My biggest issue with it was just that it wasn't, I don't feel like it was her place. You're there to teach art. That's probably what we should have stuck to, because if it was in a normal mainstream classroom, general education classroom, it would have obviously gone through all of the steps to be approved, and then they would have had a way of approaching it, not just, hey, we're going to, because she watched the same thing that I did. She used the YouTube read aloud, which at the end has a lot of propaganda geared towards Black Lives Matter, which is, that's not an issue to me, except for, I'm going to go ahead and put it out there, that fourth and fifth graders, that's a little above them. I just don't think she was prepared to answer the questions that they had. And the kids went home and obviously brought it up to their parents and had lots of questions that I don't think parents here were all that ready to answer.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. And like when we are having conversations in regards to race or racism or injustice or equity or advocacy, anything like that, it's really important, like we said before, to make sure it's developmentally appropriate. But then also to ensure that parents are prepared to continue that conversation at home, because it's very difficult for a school, especially in a class such as art, because I don't know how things are in Tennessee or in that school in particular, but that's not a class that kids have every single day. So the kids are not going to see that teacher the next day. And so when you introduce subject matter such as that, it's as if you're leaving the parents and the teachers, so to speak, holding the other, you know, the core classroom teachers holding the ball with that, because then they're going to be the ones responsible for continuing those conversations, because kids will continue to have questions in regards to that.
Absolutely, and I think that was part of the issue. I know that I read on several threads that this line of thinking for her is pretty common in her classroom. And I, as a parent, no, I don't care to have these. I'm pretty honest with my kids, and especially they're all old enough now to have these conversations. They all have social media of some sort, so you know they see everything that's going on. I'm not afraid to be pretty bluntly honest with them, but I just feel like she is going to probably find herself in a problematic situation if she continues down the path. This book was not what I expected, because I saw the reactions. I thought it was going to, and there was a lot of things taken out of context, lines in the book that were taken out of context to be put into these posts that were put out to warn parents, whatever. Obviously, you know, I went and listened to it for myself, because I'll admit, when I first started reading these posts and the uproar, I was like, wow, that's really crappy. Like, why would we teach that? Why is she doing that? I listened to the book. I had a little bit of mixed feelings. I think it's not just a hard conversation to have with kids. I think that we also have to walk the fine line when we look at age appropriate on what they take from it. I myself have had, and I know that you will have to have these conversations with your kids. My kids are fair-skinned, and we still have the conversation of what happens when a police officer stops you, and why it's so important to be one way only, and everything else, as long as you're safe, everything else can be worked out later. But this is what you follow. This is what you do. Don't go against it. Just do what you need to do to be safe, and then we will come and take care of the rest. So when we look at age, the age level that it's introduced to, my worry is creating a dialogue where they don't quite understand that all cops, all police officers are not going to react this way. It's not everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There are still wonderful police officers out there. Do we worry that we're going to ingrain that fear in them too soon?
So
yeah, I understand. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, some of the news articles that I've seen, like, in regards to this situation, a lot of the uproar, so to speak, has been in regards to it being, like, anti-police, based on some of the lines that have been taken out of the book, and I agree that some of it has been taken out of context, but if we look at the full book, and I looked at the book, I haven't seen, like, the YouTube. And so I don't know, like, what follows the video or anything in regards to, like, propaganda or anything like that. But a lot of those statements that were taken out to be deemed or seen as anti-police, I know that they were spoken by the black student in the book, like, his brother. But then it was also the conversation in regards to, like, the parents saying that, like, not all, you know, police officers aren't bad. You know, my brother is a police officer. I have a friend who's a police officer, and they're great people, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so that's what I've seen in regards to that, like, you know, it being seen as, like, anti-police.
So when I looked up the book on YouTube, there's a couple different read-aloud videos for that book. The one that I watched was the same one that Miss Angel watched, which was the same one that was presented to the students. I personally don't have an issue with the book.
No.
So the age ranges for the book is 4 to 8. And it is written in a way for that age range to be able to understand what the meaning behind the book was.
Right. It's absolutely read in a way that was, at least I felt like, was not, like, it wasn't aggressively pushing one narrative over another.
And then, so one of the things that I actually applaud the book for is taking the story and showing two different points of view. You have the, for lack of better terms, you have the white family and the black family. And you have the white family that's saying, yes, this does happen. This is why it happened, and this is a pattern. But we need to be able to help eliminate this pattern. And then you have the black family where you have that anger from the dad in the family saying that this shouldn't have happened because of this. But then you also have the comeback to that says, well, it's not every single cop, you know, because the black son that says, well, aren't there black police officers? And, you know, that's when they come back and say, yeah, well, you know, my brother is, my friend is. And they point out the fact that there are bad incidences that happen, and there are bad cops that happen, and there are mistakes that happen. And we need to be aware of those. But we also need to have the respect of the uniform at the same time. And I think the story is a good story as long as it is told within the context of a curriculum within school. I don't agree that an art teacher should be
throwing it out there.
No. I do think it needs to be a story that is told in curriculum. I don't agree with the fact that our schools don't carry it, and that's just in my personal opinion, I think that's just the narrow-mindedness of our school system.
Yeah.
Because we see it all the time.
Yeah.
But I had some trepidations going into it because of the things that were taken out of context.
The rhetoric, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From the book. And I had one opinion of it, that it was anti-cop and you know, racist and stuff like that. But when I listened to it, I was like, none of that is in there. It shows two different points
right.
of view from two different
right.
perspectives.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you on that because I didn't see it as being anti-cop or racist. It's just two different, like you said, it was two different conversations happening in two different households, and the way that those parents, the parents of the white student versus the parents of the black student, were having those conversations. Let's keep in mind, the white little girl in the book and the black little boy in the book are friends. And at the end of this whole, the conversation between the two households, the two of them are more inclusive and then encourage a new student who English is their a learned language for them to become friends with everybody else. And so there's a broader topic that we're covering in this. However, it's very easy for people to get stuck on the police conversation and the race conversation.
Absolutely.
Because let's be honest, these things make parents uncomfortable. Not necessarily kids. It makes parents uncomfortable because we don't want to talk about race because we like to think that people love to say the thing like, I don't see color. Well, I feel like that's a cop-out. Because if you don't see color, that means you don't see the person. Like, how can you see me, recognize me without knowing what color I am?
Absolutely. And so we have that talk a lot here because we have so many different colors in our family.
And so many different,
you know,
even in our extended family, the ones that walk through our door on a regular basis that don't necessarily stay with us in the house, your wayward children.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have such a diverse group that comes through this house.
I think there's a difference between welcoming everyone and voicing that you welcome everyone. I think when you put it out there constantly and that you don't see race and you don't see color and you don't see LGBTQ, you don't see those things. It's actually an incredibly ignorant statement because you do see them. You see them.
Oh yeah.
You know who they are.
You
know what they are.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I agree. And I also have to say too. I'm sorry to cut you off. But like if you're listening to the book on like YouTube, it's very different from the actual book. Like if you have the actual book, because in the actual book after the story, there's additional pages on how parents and other adults can continue to have conversations with kids. It also provides like definitions for all the different terms in regards to like racism and inclusivity and fairness and equity. And so if you're only looking at the book and that's all you're looking at, you're missing those talking points too and how to further the conversation, but then also how to make things more appropriate to continue to have these conversations with kids. And so again, like I said, it's very easy to get stuck on or just pinpoint those things that make us as adults uncomfortable in this book versus looking at the bigger picture and what the book is actually trying to teach kids. Because let's be honest, we like to think that like, you know, kids aren't born racist. Well, no, guess what? They're around people who are racist, and
that's
why a lot of them adopt some of those opinions and so some of those thoughts. Because when we look back on you know, things like if we look like on slavery, like Jim Crow era and all these different things, the people who were members of the KKK, all this stuff, I'm not saying any of this stuff happened in the book. Okay, let me go ahead and put that disclaimer
right,
I want my words then, okay? Nobody talked about the KKK in the book, okay? But these people also had kids. So people, hate is taught. And so I feel like this book and what they were trying to do was trying to teach kids love. Like, we are still, like, we might disagree on certain things. We may look different. We may come from different households. Our conversations may be different. But at the end of the day, what can we do to be more inclusive and accepting to other people who are not like us?
Which was the overall, literally the overall message in that book was inclusivity. And it's unfortunate, one, that race is, from my understanding, race was really where the teacher focused with that story, which is unfortunate. And then those kids took that home and that message home to their parents, who, of course, now they're super uncomfortable because, at least in our small area, there's a very distinct lack of diversity. When it could have been received, again, I probably would have had an issue with an art teacher sending something home with no other context, no warning, mm-hmm. no context, nothing to bring home as a conversation point. So I get the anger there, but it kind of saddens me that it had to go to a level where, you know, we want to hang this person. We want to drag him through the mud. I don't know if her views are just misinterpreted or if she's misguided. I think these things should be included in a general, like the mainstream classes, the core classes, things like this story absolutely should be included in those, because we know that that's a whole lesson. It's not just the story. They're talking about it before. They explain what happens. Then they do the story. Then they talk about it afterwards. And 9 times out of 10, they bring something home to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So we can all talk about it. Because at first I was really upset because I was like, you know, that's something that I should be able to talk to my kids about, which I should be able to talk to my kids about. But I don't necessarily want it thrown at them in a way that they can't understand that that's not what that story was about. That story had nothing, literally the overall scope of the story wasn't about that.
It was introducing a real-time conflict and real-time fear that is prevalent in our society now in trying to teach a lesson to our kids to, I hate to use the word accept, but to...
It's true.
It's to accept everybody for who they are. You know, Stephanie said it best when she said, you know, people that say, I don't see color are full of shit.
I see all the color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have to. But you have to look deeper than the color of the person.
Well, not only that.
And that's one of the, you have to look deeper than the surface value of who that person is. And that was one of the things that this book taught, especially there at the end, you know, when people were saying, oh, well, we don't need him, or he, you know, he was picked last or whatever. And then you had the two kids that were like, huh,
no,
step off, you know, he's joining us because we're not going to exclude him because he's from somewhere else or that he doesn't speak English very well. We're going to include him because he is different. Because
right.
He can teach, and that's one of the things that I loved about the book, is that, and this is one of the things that I learned in my classes going through college, was that diversity gives you new ideas and new options. If you have the same type of people doing the same type of thing, nothing's ever going to change. The only way that we have change in the world is through diversity and inclusion. And that's one of the things that this book teaches. You shouldn't have to go through a business class or through a bachelor's program or a master's program or a doctoral program to learn that diversity and inclusion provides new or can provide new and better outcomes, scenarios, and situations.
Now, I will say that one of our listeners did point it, did, because this teacher's not originally from our school, so I was not a parent privy to any of that, that the teacher actually did follow up with the talking points by the American Psychological Association, and it was a conversation on community art, which is great. I am assuming, though, by the reaction from the parents, that this was not something that was forewarned, and that is still an issue.
Right.
Yeah.
But for me, that is still an issue, only because our kids already have questions, and when you live in a community where you already know that these things are going to be an issue, it is better to prepare than surprise.
Yeah, it is also very easy for people to exclude the part of the conversation which the art teacher included those talking points.
Absolutely.
If that was included in the conversation or in the news post or anything like that, then it would kind of like null everyone's argument.
Yeah, I feel like it would have changed the discussion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then I also like wonder why people aren't as concerned about the other set of students at the end of the book who wanted to exclude the other student. Like, why were we not upset
right.
about that? Like, who's teaching
right.
those kids how to hate? You know?
Right.
Why was that not the topic of conversation? We focus on that one line that we deem to be anti-police instead of saying, man, who's teaching these kids how to exclude? You know? That should be the conversation. Where did those kids learn how to do that? Like, who taught them that? Because, again, we have to remember, we want to focus on the thing that makes us, the adults, uncomfortable. Because then we also, if let's say the conversation was in regards to those kids including other kids, we would say, oh, that's just kids being kids. Well, no,
mm-hmm.
it should not be kids being kids. Kids should not
absolutely.
Do that to each other.
You know,
and so
something that,
like I said.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say that's something that we as a family have dealt with since probably first grade with one of our kids, where unfortunately he comes off as different, a little weird, which I don't care about, but that lack of being included in peers' play or peer groups or wanting to be part of a project, he's always faced that level of being picked last.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be teaching our kids to stop being assholes. Seriously.
Yeah.
There's no reason to treat people like that. My opinion.
Yeah. So I just want to know, like, why aren't we having that conversation? Like, why are these kids not being nice to this other kid because English is not his first language or he's new? Because it's just, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, you know, adults can make things a lot more difficult than they need to be. Because I wonder also if the kids felt uncomfortable having this conversation, or was it then they became uncomfortable once they went home and talked about it and their parents were uncomfortable?
I mean,
I was uncomfortable.
Yeah, like I would probably go more towards the latter, just because I don't, you know, when you look at fourth and fifth grade kids, they like to conversate about these things. They have an opinion.
And that's
right.
That's one thing that sometimes we as parents or, you know, sometimes educators or adults in general tend to forget that this age range, 4 to 8, is one of the most pivotal age ranges for kids. It's where they begin to learn their attitudes, their personalities, and their views of the world going forward. That's not to say that it won't change throughout their life. These are the fundamental years for kids. And a book like this can help kids understand inclusivity.
Absolutely.
I said that right.
I think we also, I guess as adults, I'm saying we generally because I don't agree that I would be part of that group, but I think we as adults also need to stop pretending like the world is not happening. You can't only be teaching them the good parts of life. Shit is happening out there. They have to be prepared because even if they're encountering it in the safety of their parents' presence, it doesn't mean that they're not going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to
understand why. Each other.
Yes. We can't keep going around thinking that, you know, just because we live in a highly predominant, safe Christian community, that everything's going to be safe here, nothing bad happens here, there's no drugs, there's no crime, there's no racism, there's no robberies, that these things don't happen. They still happen. And you're ill-preparing your kids by not giving them age-appropriate material that tells them what does happen in the world.
Yeah. And I think a lot of adults think that the best thing they can do in these type of situations is to ignore it. And if I ignore it, then I don't need to address it. And then my kids won't deal with it. But in reality, like you said, the world is still going on. Kids see things whether we realize it or not. Either they can look over our shoulder while we're scrolling through social media and see something. Or we could be watching the news and they'll see something come up. Or they talk to each other. And who, you know, another kid whose parent does let them watch the news or do all these other things. And so they're knowing what's happening. And so we're not doing them any favors by not talking about it. But the thing is that we have to know how to talk about it. And, like, allowing kids to express feelings and share their thoughts because, again, they're human. So they're going to have their own opinion. And so we as parents and as adults should allow our kids to have their own opinions and not force them to agree with how we think.
I have to agree 100%.
Yeah.
Kids nowadays are a hell of a lot smarter than we were at their age. My 10-year-old is smarter than I was at 10. I mean...
Worldly
and, you know, in general. My 10-year-old can create a whole-ass movie on TikTok. At 10 years old, I was still playing with Transformers.
Right.
And they were kicking my ass trying to transform them. But we as adults need to be aware that kids have a lot more access to what is going on in the world around them. And
Well, something I just found out, and, you know, I know Stephanie doesn't get a chance to listen to us often, but I didn't realize that this school was connected to the multiple shootings that we had had in the community at the high school level in that community. And so a few weeks before the book was read, which, again, still kind of leans me towards her focus was somewhere it shouldn't have been. But a few weeks before the story was read, they had had an incident where there was a kid in the school. He did have a gun. I'm not going to talk on what his motives were because that's such a – it's a whole other conversation. The reality was that he had a gun in the school. The cops were called. They found him in the bathroom. He didn't put the gun down, and he was shot and killed by a police officer. In context, so that almost feels, it really feels like this.
The way that the story, so the story about that was presented in two different ways, obviously. It was presented in a way where police officer shot a black student.
Yeah, and the kids had questions, so this was definitely a way for them to.
After that, it was presented in the correct way where the police officer went in, student. Race was taken out. Student had a gun. And the whole issue of race went out of that. And it was this student had a gun and was threatening the school. The police used their escalation of force until it came down to, unfortunately, the police officer had to use deadly force.
Yeah, but that's not what happened.
But the narrative was twisted. And I think that could have been part of the motivation for why this...
I think it was part of the parental motivation, because the reality is a trauma response. Those little kids knew
mm-hmm.
that somebody had been killed, a black student had been killed by a white police officer.
Yes.
And so they knew that. They had questions about it. Parents were talking about it at home, probably not truly explaining it to their kids, but parents were talking about it. There were riots, there were demonstrations. It was a horrible situation. It was honestly, now that I see the context of it, was the perfect time to introduce that story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, and I'm looking it up. I'm sorry, and I'm not very familiar, because again, I don't live in Tennessee. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
The shooting happened in April, but then and also the book was read in April. So I am wondering if that was the reason why the teacher chose to introduce that book, because kids had questions.
Yeah, you got fifth grade kids. They're 11 years old. You don't think that they're talking about, you know, that they didn't even know the kid, or that they didn't know his friends or his family, or, you know. My God, they're going to have questions.
And
that was never brought up in any of the narratives that came out on the news, any of the interviews with parents, like parents that had nothing to do with the situation. None of that was brought up. Like, how do we talk to our little kids about what is happening? Because he was like the fourth kid from that school to have been killed that year. Within months.
Not necessarily...
Not
by cops.
No. They, three of which were more than likely gang related. And then we had the other student. But regardless, it was four kids from the same high school within a matter of months that had been killed. Do we not think that that's going to create trauma for our little kids?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is one of the topics that no one was hitting on in any of the articles I found either about trauma. And trauma
yeah.
response in kids, because and trauma does not just pertain to like a kid witnessing things, but let's say their sibling was in that school at that time, and so
yes.
I'm pretty sure there was conversations happening in the home during then, or this is a kid that lived, the kid who died, like maybe lived two doors down and they saw that kid before, or worked at the grocery store, and that's what so and we have to think about, because I'm sure, as you know, it was a big deal, because I think that story went nationwide.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
I know that it was your news feed and your news timeline and everything else around in your area was saturated with this story.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
kids were probably hearing that and seeing that all the time. But then if there was no one talking to them about this, one of the people they may have mentioned this to would have been a teacher who then felt like I needed to answer their question, and this was the best way that I knew how to do it.
It was really good timing. I mean, whether that particular lesson was really scheduled for that time, or if she just pulled it and said, I'm going to move this lesson here because this is a time for it. I don't know. I do think that she picked a good time. I know the kids had to be, there was a lot of trauma involved. We had one student was killed just leaving school to go home, and it was right there, right outside of the school. So then you had, you know, obviously parents were scared. That was the third. Parents were scared to send their kids to school. They were scared to have them walking the street to the school. And you know, little kids are scared too.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to be going, like, I'd be scared. If you're hearing a parent say, you know, what happens if another one walks out? And now you've got a little kid thinking, well, what happens if I leave school?
Yeah.
And somebody shoots me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm looking at the story in regards to the one teen who was shot in the bathroom by a school resource officer who was at the school who shot them?
I don't believe it was the resource officer that shot them. There was three or four cops in the bathroom.
That got called in regards to this situation?
Yes, yeah. The resource officer,
okay.
I believe,
gotcha.
Caught the camera footage and was I don't know the whole story anymore, but I know he was there, but I know that they called in a team.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the clarification.
No, Well, and, you know, we want our kids to trust their resource officers. I know my kids love theirs, and we tell them all the time that when these things were happening, because our kids had questions, even though it was a different area, it was still part of the district. So, and it was obviously a topic of conversation. They had questions, and we always, you know, the best that, you know, we feel safe with you here because they have great safety measures. There's a lot of security, and you have really great resource officers. They're there to protect you.
Yeah. And I think, and again, one of the things that's getting missed in conversation with this book was when the parents, I think both set of parents talked about how, and they didn't lump all the police into one category. And they said some. And I think that's what with anything. Like, some people may not make the best choices. Most
Absolutely.
People do. And that was another thing that was in those talking points in the back of the book. Talking, it said, like, the large majority, like, you know, the large majority of police officers have their whole career and never fire their weapon. But, again, if you were only listening to a snippet of it or, like, only watching, like, the YouTube video, you miss the other part of this, you know what I mean? And having this conversation with kids and then with parents as well.
I think it definitely, with all the context that's been provided, you know, it definitely changes. At least it, my view wasn't really against it, but it changes a lot of how I'm viewing other people reacting to it now, though, because I feel like nobody took the time to try to find out why, how. You know, everybody was so quick to jump on one level of one thing that this book talks about and how this teacher should be allowed around the children and these books shouldn't be allowed in our school. And I just, wow, I feel like so many people are just missing the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's easy to jump on that bandwagon, the bandwagon of misinformation, because that will involve more work on your part. You know what I mean? Like, it would involve you actually reading the book yourself and listening to these things and then having, continuing that conversation with your kid versus, I would prefer not to talk to my kid about it. Let's stick our heads in the mud in regards to this conversation. How dare you mention it to my kid, too?
Yeah.
And it has to go back, and I can't help but to, you know, because I was a teenager once upon a time, to like, you know, when we have, like, sex ed talks, and, like, our parents who, like, opted us out of sex ed conversation, like, no, I'll talk to you about this on our own, and then never have that conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Somebody else is going to tell you about sex. So whether you tell me or not, I'm going to learn about it.
Right?
And
right.
So,
I mean,
you can't ignore these things.
Yes. You know, and we've had that talk here, too, because obviously that's kind of a new thing, too, is introducing some sort of sexual education into the elementary level at obviously age-appropriate times. And people get – all they hear, 9 times out of 10, is sex education in elementary school. Sex education in kindergarten. And they're not really getting the fact that sex education does not involve penis and vagina. Like, not all of it is about that. We're talking about, you know, safety of our bodies and knowing who is safe.
Like that.
Yes, age appropriate. And it's the same with these kind of stories. It's age appropriate. You know, we're not coming at them with Boys in the Hood as a fourth grade movie night.
Yeah, even though it's a great movie, I would not recommend it for fourth graders, though.
No, probably not, but it is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, but I think it all goes back to being anti-police, and also we cannot ignore the fact of this. Like, this has become like a political conversation, and so people are not seeing it so much as like informing kids, but we see it as like political now. Due to the current climate, so to speak.
Yes.
Because, like, the new push for, like, racial justice and equality and equity, it's become a hot-button topic. It's been, you know what I mean? It's been, and so
yep.
when, and especially like when we think about like the killing of like George Floyd, and like all this stuff happened when we were in lockdown during the pandemic. And so kids, adults, everyone from all races, genders, ethnicities, cultures were witnessing this thing while we were in, because we were in during the pandemic, so we were in lockdown.
Yeah.
So everyone had access to their phones and devices, and it was on the news all over the place. And so kids are being exposed to this too. But again, parents might not have been having those conversations with them to explain it to them.
And no, because they're just seeing it as I'm watching on the news. The news will explain
it. Right. The news will explain it for them. I don't want to have this conversation with them because it makes me uncomfortable, because honestly, I don't know how I feel about it. And so if I don't know how I feel, how can I talk to you about it? And sometimes us as parents, we have a hard time telling our kids that we don't have all the answers.
Yes.
Because we feel like we have to have all the answers, and we don't. And so, and our kids really like when we're vulnerable, like say, I don't know everything, or I don't know what I'm doing. I'm winging this whole parenting thing. Like, I'm learning from you.
Yes.
And so, like, but it's hard for us as adults to be vulnerable with our kids, to say that I don't know, I don't have all the answers, and maybe we can figure this out together. But again, it
absolutely
involves some vulnerability on our part.
Sorry, I'm just answering this person. It's hard to do. It's hard to do radio and Facebook Live. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm not getting anything on my Facebook Live.
Oh, well, you have to refresh the page every now and then, sir.
Well, I've got it on my phone. I can't bring it up on the computer. I've got it.
You're going to break the show. I want to continue the conversation. We have to take a very small break for our bands. It's only about a minute or so long. Are you going to stay on with us, Stephanie?
Would you like me to stay on?
Always love it when you stay on.
Yeah, I can stay on for a little while longer. And then I gotta get
okay, we're just going to put you on hold real quick, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Falling from Grace, we'll be right back.
Hearts that aren't expected. Now back to the Falling from Grace podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight for a very special show. You know, our not-so-typical level of stirring the pot, but one that needed to be stirred regardless. I have Dan and Alex and Stephanie joining me tonight. If you would like to call in, you know the number right there on the post, but it is 718-664-9735, or you can also follow along on the live feed on Facebook, and I will try to type back as quickly as I can, but I don't do that very fast, so bear with me. Tonight we are obviously talking about the book that was introduced into our local school called Something Happened in Our Town. It created a lot of uproar. It created a lot of anger that I was not surprised at, but more so now, a little disappointed in parents and maybe myself on a level, because I know, you know, my first snap judgment was, hell no, I don't understand why this was done. I don't know why she felt like she needed to introduce this to my kids without, or two kids without warning parents. This is outside of the scope of art. But now coming into it, we see that the context is completely different. And she probably actually did nothing. I mean, she may have presented it in a way that was not maybe the point of the book. Maybe she was a little skewed in her view of how things were presented and pushed narrative that need to actually be there, but I don't know that because I wasn't there, and I'm not gonna say either way. I will say though that looking at the context and the conversations that we've had, the book is actually approved curriculum for Tennessee. It's just not one that people use because it makes people uncomfortable, so they opt out of it. She didn't, and she used it in an art lesson that dealt with community. And my view is different. And I hope that other parents take a minute to listen and read and look at the whole situation before jumping on the ship to hang this teacher by her toes. Because some parents got uncomfortable with the subject matter. What?
Alex? Alex?
Quiet. He's just up here listening. Alex, you listened to the book also as a teenager in a less diverse area.
How do you mean?
Oh, it seemed pretty... We went to the beach up there. There was not a lot of dark-skinned people there.
No, my school is pretty diverse, though.
Okay, well, what did you think about the story itself? Without, obviously, we don't have the talking points from the back of the book because I don't actually have the book. Should they decide, I'm going to guess that that's going to be off the table for this year, considering, but should they decide to use the book this year, I will buy it and read it myself with all of the talking points.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you think about it?
It was a fairly good book. Like, I don't think there was anything that was inappropriate to teach students, but I think a warning or like a, hey, this is what we're doing in art class today would have been helpful for parents. Because it could have been a issue in some households. Like their child came home and was like, well, guess what we learned in art class today? That could have stirred the pot in a few households. Well, it clearly did, but...
Especially in Tennessee. Yeah.
I think a warning would have been helpful, but I don't think she should, like, lose her job or nothing. She did what she thought was appropriate, but, I mean, I don't think people should be mad about it. They can get over it.
I agree.
But, yeah, they didn't really teach anything like that whenever I was in school. We had special things throughout the year that they like taught us and like made us appreciate other cultures and stuff. But they didn't do this in, like, elementary school or nothing. But I think it's helpful for kids to know, like our guests said, form their own opinions. Have children form their own opinions about the people that they interact with.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I've, parents forcing it on them. My
yeah.
parents didn't, at least. And I
well, yeah.
To form my own opinions.
We try not to hear, too.
Yeah.
I think we need to remember that all children need access to stories that reflect themselves and their own experiences as well as the experiences of others, because it encourages the development of healthy self-concept and high self-esteem. It also enables children to develop a sense that they and people who may look like and share similarities with them are valued and they have a place and a purpose within humanity. If we aren't opening our kids up to that, who the hell are we sending into the world later?
Yeah. It's just different. Because, like, when – I'm sure it was different when guys were in elementary school.
Oh,
they,
didn't learn about stuff like that.
They didn't, like, teach that sort of thing to you guys. But whenever I was in elementary school, it was, well, treat people how you want to be treated. And then they would give us books that didn't necessarily use the word black and white as, like, skin color or nothing. It was, well, this guy's different and this guy's different. And they hate each other for some reason. But in the end, they love each other because of something. Like, there was always, they never directly addressed it. They just said, don't be mean to other people for no reason. I think this is just a bit more direct and blunt.
Which I think is needed. I think.
Yeah, clearly a message didn't get across in the past, like, 40, 50 years. Something went askew there.
I mean, obviously, I feel like we're at a crossroads. If we don't just put the message out there and start teaching adults and kids alike about inclusivity, not judging people because they're different, racism, and the shit that goes on in the world, because, I mean, it's not just, you know, issues with police officers. There's a lot of things that are happening in the world. Well, then we're going to send pretty dumb kids out to the world later, won't we?
One of the biggest issues that I have with school curriculums, and Stephanie, you can correct me wrong, you're an educator. One of the biggest issues that I have is whitewashing curriculum, and I don't mean whitewashing in the fact of
white people.
Of white people, you know, of a color mouth.
True.
But a lot of educators and a lot of you know, school curriculums tend to kind of gloss over the bad parts of history.
Or, you know, you just erase it now.
So or cool. We don't even talk about it.
Yeah, it did happen. It's cool.
You know, I know that when I was a kid, we went fairly in-depth into topics such as the Holocaust, the Trail of Tears.
Mm-hmm. We did, too. I mean, I know different schools are different, but
yeah.
Right.
They taught us that stuff. I'm sure it wasn't as, like, super detailed, but it
yeah.
was, hey, this is the Holocaust, or hey, this is this. This is what happened.
They don't teach about the Holocaust anymore.
This is why it happened, and stuff like that.
Right. But they tend to kind of gloss over, like bad parts of history in mainstream education.
Yeah.
When you get higher up in education, when you go to, when you go to college and stuff like that, that's where they tend to really focus on those aspects. But not everybody goes to college, you know, and we actually need to be teaching.
Well, not everybody takes the same classes in college. You're not learning the same thing.
No, you're not. We need to be teaching our children both the good and the bad, you know, and we need to be teaching the correct story, you know, no more of this, oh, the Holocaust happened, but
it wasn't that bad.
Something they didn't teach us in school, they taught us, like, World War II, there's always the, like, Nazi Germany subject. They never taught us, like, of the other mass killings that happened in World War II. It's always, like, Holocaust was the only one that's it.
Let me ask you this. Did they ever teach you about the forced imprisonment of Japanese Americans.
They did.
They did?
Yeah, that was that was the other side of it.
Well,
okay.
It was for World War II. It was like Axis and Allies, Nazi Germany, Japanese internment.
So was there high school was a long time ago. I don't actually remember what I learned there.
Because when I went through high school,
I'm glad you remember.
Because I took Washington State history.
We all did.
And I don't remember them talking about that because the Puyallup Fairgrounds was actually a Japanese-American internment camp.
Oh.
I learned that.
Makes me kind of disappointed myself.
Well, after high school. Learned that well after high school. And that's sad that we don't teach those. We don't, because if we don't teach the bad parts of history and how we rose above them, then we're going to repeat it.
I mean, we kind of already.
I think as parents, we have that.
In some aspect.
That responsibility too, though, and I think that goes across all cultures. You know, when I was a kid, I learned a lot about my tribe and things that they did that were good and things that they did that were bad. But I didn't learn anything about them in school. There's such a break in we have to realize that realistically, American curriculum is biased.
It is.
They only tell one side of the story.
Yes.
We don't ever hear both sides of the story, which is shit. Sorry, it is. We should be hearing. When we learn about things like the Trail of Tears, we need to learn from both this side and this side. Because both people did bad things, but this people over here, man, they all died. So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah. We need to be able to accept the things that were done wrong in the past, regardless of what culture, what race, what nationality did those things.
Yeah.
You know, we don't punish future generations for that, but we teach them. You know, we teach them that racial inequality is bad. Like horrible.
But
not
teach them why.
Not just, oh, well, you know, the Jim Crow laws were enacted and they were bad.
Right. They need to know why these things are happening, because they are happening. Again, you know what? We're repeating ourselves. Why? I don't know.
Stephanie, why
are we repeating ourselves?
Because we don't want to talk about it. And so it makes people uncomfortable. I think schools like to talk about, I don't want to say like to talk about, but they bring up topics in regards to like the Holocaust and Hitler because yeah, everyone knows Hitler's a bad guy. Like, we can all get on that team to say that Hitler was a bad guy about, like, things that happened, like, as far as, like, the Holocaust and concentration camps and all of those things. But what we don't want to talk about is that George Washington was also not a good guy or Thomas Jefferson was not a good guy. Like, we don't want to have those conversations because then we have to atone for what we did as a nation to black people, brown people, you know, Japanese people, all kinds of people, and we don't want to atone for that. We want to act as if it didn't happen or say that was in the past, and we are over that, and we are all, like, you know, kumbaya, all that other stuff. No, that has not happened. Go ahead.
We never see them learn about the actual history of the person. So when we talk about George Washington, we hear all of the good talking points, all of the things that he did that were great. And every person has the ability to do something great in their life, but it does not mean that they are a good person. We never talk about the fact of the crimes against people that those people committed.
Yeah, we don't want to ruin the image that we have of our founding fathers. We want to think of them as quote-unquote heroes.
Well, yeah, because we use those in speeches all the time. Our founding fathers, they did this, and they did this, and they created us.
Exactly.
You're right, they created us.
But they created,
like,
but they also...
I'm from Virginia. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I'm from Virginia, and so, like, we in Virginia, they love to talk about, like, you know, the founding fathers, because this is, you know, this is where it all... This is a room where it happened, so to speak, in Hamilton. And so, like, we learned, like, you know, George Washington's teeth were made of wood, and that's what we learned in school. where in reality his teeth were not made of wood. His teeth were made from teeth of slaves. But we don't want to teach that to kids because that is really, that's grotesque. But that also the reality.
They told us they were made of wood.
But I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They never told us that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the teeth were made from teeth of slaves. Yeah, and then we talk about, like, Thomas Jefferson and all the great things that we did, that he did, but we don't also talk about, like, he was one of the most sadistic slave masters that there was.
Yeah.
But we don't want to have those conversations.
So many illegitimate, quote-unquote, slave
children.
Which
we've actually seen stories about that.
Yeah, yeah, he was...
But Sally Hemings and her family.
Yeah, yeah, he took many slaves.
But what we don't know about Sally Hemings is that Sally Hemings is also Thomas Jefferson's wife's sister, her half-sister. So Thomas Jefferson's wife, her father also raped a slave. Yeah, we don't have those conversations, though.
But
we do, because, I mean, one, it's interesting to know, but two, we can't just keep moving forward and pretending like history's just going to disappear and fall away and we're going to create new history. We can't do that.
And that's one of the reasons I think that in today's society, we still have the prevalence of racism. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to say that we have come so far from, you know, Malcolm X and, you know, Dr. King and, you know, Rosa Parks and all them, you know, and all those great figures in history. We want to say that we have come so far from the Jim Crow laws, so far from segregation, so far from racism, that we are, you know, that we have taken these great leaps and these great strides forward, when in actuality, every step that we take, there's always two steps back.
Well, my problem is that it's also regional. I feel like it's a regional issue because you definitely do go to states where the climate is 100% different.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, holy crap, I didn't even know that places like this existed. And then you come to states, and then you are in states, because I don't want to call myself out, where you're like, okay, so this is how we treat people here. And now I have to work twice as hard to teach my children not to be complete dicks. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
And I have had to work. You know, our youngest was basically raised here. She was very little when we came here. And so there are times when she says something out of turn, and I'm like, no, okay, let's have a talk.
We understand that that's probably a joke in your head.
And that's the thing, is a lot of times she says it in humor because she heard it somewhere. And then I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that's not funny, and we're not going to ever say that again, ever. And this is why. This is why we're not going to say that. It's never just don't say that, it's not nice. It's not funny. There always has to be a follow up.
That's
why it's
educate.
Not okay.
That's how you educate. And that's another issue that I think parents struggle to deal with is why things are not okay.
Well, unfortunately,
you know,
some of these parents do think it's okay.
And that's a huge problem that we still have. And not only in American society, but in societies all over the world, there are still huge race issues.
Oh, yeah. We literally just saw it with the soccer the soccer games in Europe.
Yeah.
Gross.
It's to me, it's pathetic of the human race to be able to look at somebody that's different from you, whether they're from a different country, whether they're a different color, a different gender, or whatever is different about them, and be able to say, you're inferior to me because you're different.
Yeah, I like to think that people are inferior to me just because I'm better than them.
It's my personality to make them better.
Yes, I mean,
not because of the color.
My overall embodiment is not better than you. Myself is, and that is why I don't do people.
But it's
a strange concept, though, when you think about it. Like, not liking somebody because of whatever. But,
yeah.
Like, literally the inside of everybody's bodies is the same.
Yeah.
That's
like we all work the same. We all, our blood pumps the same.
That is not true, though. Because
we all need blood to pump.
I have heard that my blood is alien blood, and so that is why I'm better than everybody else.
You're just an alien here.
Because I'm not like
this to
you.
But no, I mean, you're right. Everybody's heart is the same way.
Yeah. We all need a brain. We all need lungs.
You know, it's...
Dan and I have talked about it so many times because my brain literally does work differently than other people's, and I know that, though, because these issues are non-issues to me on a level of, I'm not saying they're not actual issues, but for myself, because I just don't care. I don't care. I don't care what color you are. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care, minus people who do disgusting things to other people and pedophiles. I don't care who you are or what you do or what you look like, as long as you're not a dick. Like, I just don't care. And I don't understand why other people look at it that way, because honestly, the color of somebody's skin or who they have sex with literally impacts me none.
Yeah.
None.
But you can appreciate who they are.
I can appreciate who they are. I'm saying, though, like, the aggressive
hatred
towards other people makes no sense to me, because who they are or what they look like or what their orientation is, or if they want to, if they're a boy and they want to dress like a girl, like, literally, it does not impact my life. I don't care.
The thing that we as a society need to look at, and this is how you view society, how I view society, and how I've tried to teach my kids to view society. As long as you're not harming kids or animals, as long as everything that you do is within the confines of the law, as long as the law does not impede on your rights as a human, and as long as you're not a dick, as long as you're a productive member of society, That should be the bottom line. As long as you're a productive member of society.
I don't even care if you're productive. Just, you know, as long as you leave me alone, I don't care. I don't care.
Well, I just want you to be a productive member of society. I want you to make society better for those that are coming after you.
Okay, but to be fair, there are people out there that are not productive that are actually doing the world a favor by not being productive. So, in this case...
No. They're doing the world a favor by not being productive.
I mean, if they're not productive at all, they're not getting any of that either. So, it's a win-win situation if you just leave people alone and let them do their thing. And I think that goes for all sides of the circle, though. Like, you know, there tends to be a lot of focus on races in groups. Like, you know, this is each one having their own level of hatred towards others. But I think as a whole, we all need to be kind of on that same boat of, okay, that's a white dude. Cool.
Yeah.
Have a good day. Okay, that's a black dude. Cool. Have a good day. Like, I don't understand why people can't just leave people alone.
The thing is that we can learn so much from these other cultures. And that goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, the diversity and inclusion.
Yep.
You know, we can learn so much from other cultures. In my childhood, I've traveled with my family. And as a member of the military, I've traveled with...
He's a cultured man.
I've experienced cultures that others haven't.
That's why he's better than us.
Never said I was better. I'm different. But the thing is other cultures and how they interact with each other and how they live their lives is fascinating to me.
Yeah, no, I think it's wonderful.
And that should be the... In my mind, that should be the opinion of other people, because we see it on TikTok. There is a TikTok user or creator that is absolutely fascinated with America. She's British, and she's absolutely fascinated with America. And to me, that's fascinating that she's fascinated with us.
I feel bad for her.
That sounds like narcissism.
But at the same time, I'm like fascinated with her culture too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how we need to be.
I'm not going to lie, though. Every time she talks about how much she wants to come to America, all I can think is, please don't. Please just don't. I would rather go to where you are.
We could be so much more learned and educated if we include everybody in a conversation.
Well, and think about how much rounded our kids would be if they knew about other cultures. I love the fact that we have so many different people in our family, different kinds of people, different backgrounds. You and I have 100% different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And the kids, you know, have learned from that, and they've learned from people in their family or asked questions about people in their family. Today was a prime example for me because while Sophia is kind of a jerk sometimes, she's got a great heart, and we were looking at school supplies, and she picked up this giant box of washable markers that said Colors of the World. And she brought it to me, and she said, "This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Who came up with this? Where has this been all my life?" And I was like, "That is pretty cool. That's pretty cool." She's like, "Do you know how many people I can make with these colors?"
And that right there sums up how we should be teaching our children as a society.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that's my narcissism showing.
What do you say?
But that's your narcissism showing too, because...
No, it's self-serving. I'm not narcissistic. I'm self-serving in the fact that my kid is actually showing me that I'm doing something right, and it makes me feel good.
Yeah. It's those words right there. I can create so many people of the world in one box.
I just thought it was pretty cool.
She
was like, "Look at all the skins." I know it's a little creepy the first time she says it, but she was like, "Look at all the skins on this box."
You know how many people I've got to color orange?
Dumber.
I didn't have that when I was a kid.
Look,
my spray painting days are over, okay?
No, I think that we do need to... As we look back at the original topic of the show, because I have ADHD and we never stay on it.
But this is why the show was leaving.
But I think that we need to stop being so uncomfortable with what our kids are learning in school if it's been approved. You know what I mean? Like, we have to stop being uncomfortable with the fact that our kids are with somebody else 8 hours a day. They're there to learn about the world. This was a great lesson.
Yeah.
Something I've never seen in a school before. And it was a needed lesson. And because it made so many people uncomfortable, it got turned into something disgusting. The whole topic was torn apart and wadded up and then reopened and turned into something that it wasn't. And that bothers me.
So I do have a question for our guest.
Sure.
So, Stephanie.
Yeah.
You're an educator. You're a student counselor.
And she's well educated. What?
And she is well educated. but you mentioned that you are an educator as well.
Yeah.
And you, if I remember correctly, you said that you've used this book in your curriculum?
Yes, because I teach master's students, so people who are going to earn, like, their master's degrees in school counseling. And so we have discussed this book, and we talk about, like, other books and when we want to talk with our students. Because what school counselors do, one of the things they do is, like, what we call classroom guidance lessons. So we teach kids about, like, kindness and healthy eating habits, like things like that, sharing feelings. But we also talk about, like, diversity and inclusivity. And so this is, like, one of the books that we also discussed in one of my classes as, like, an option of something that they could introduce or even just have on their bookshelves, like, as a tool, so to speak, in their offices. So if a kid wants to come in and they, like, are browsing books and they pull that book out and they say, "Oh, what's this about?" And then we have that conversation there. But also keep in mind that school counselors are equipped with the skills and the techniques to be able to have these conversations with kids as well in regards to, like, race and injustice and bias and racism, fairness, equity.
I think that's a good point. I think that this actually would have, because our counselors do the same thing, and they usually send us a newsletter stating, like, this month, this is what we're going to be discussing. This is the materials we're going to use. These are some talking points that you can use with your child. I think this actually would have been better used in here, in this situation, in that capacity.
Just a follow-up to that.
Sure. Sorry.
No. You're fine. I think, you know, it's a great point. How was the book and the way that it is presented, how was that received with your students? Because your students are generally adults, probably in their late 20s, 30s, maybe even some in their 40s. How did they receive, because the conversation we've been having is on this book, how did they receive the book and how do they feel about using it in their curriculums and as a tool for what the book is meant to be used for?
So I'm going to say it was fairly well received when we had this conversation about, like, books, but we didn't talk about, like, this one only. We talked about, like, a number of other books. And so I think it was fairly well received. However, there's also, like, a power dynamic we have to address, like, in regards to, like, me and the students, because, like, they might say, oh, yeah, this is a great idea, Mrs. Durkin, and they never use it.
Right.
Because they might not feel comfortable using it, because I think a lot of people, that are not comfortable broaching the subject of race, whether it be with students or other adults. And so they may not even get that book. They may not feel comfortable enough with themselves to talk about it, let alone talk to kids about it.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think it's, I know that you have mentioned, and so did one of our listeners, that this book has made its rounds several times and has caused some pretty big storms in school communities before. I think that's unfortunate. I didn't realize that it had been a vocal issue in other schools, because it, other schools, obviously, you know, we don't hear about that stuff unless it's, I don't watch the news. I don't watch mainstream media, but I only see local stuff to us. Do you think that that's going to be something that we deal with continuously with these types of books?
Oh, for sure. I don't think any, like, these type of conversations, I don't think they're going away, especially when, you know, people are bringing up the subject of, like, critical race theory and things like that. So they think anything in regards to, if you bring up the conversation of race, it has something to do with critical race theory. And so I think, like, this is one of many conversations or school districts that are going to have, like, some of these tough conversations with parents and staff in regards to using this book. So I don't think it's going away.
It's a hard topic because, you know, you're coming at it from the educator side and the parent side, and then I'm coming at it from the parent side. I just don't see how to make that better for teachers, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of teachers, like, pull, like, supplemental, like, resources and stuff to use, like, when teaching, because we have to keep in mind, like, the textbooks that we use in schools, it takes years to make textbooks. And then the state has to buy them. And so if we're looking for, like, books that, like, incorporate, like, more diverse, so to speak, topics, it's going to take years, maybe decades, before those even get introduced into schools. And so teachers do use, like, supplemental materials to address a lot of these issues.
I honestly feel like...
But it's tough because... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, I don't feel like my kids, while they, you know, learn about great people of color in school, I don't feel like the actual topic of racism is actually, or at least for my littles, has actually really been broached for them.
Yeah. Yeah, and like one of the things that, you know, I heard this saying, and it's something that's like really stuck with me, especially like when we talk about like white parents and their kids versus like non-white parents, so like black parents, Latinx parents, things like that, and like their kids. And so a lot of parents will say, a lot of white parents have said, like, you know, elementary is like too young to talk to kids about racism. However, my kids,
should that be where it starts?
You know, and like, you know, self-disclosure, like my, you know, I'm black, my kids are black. However, elementary age, like my kids are experiencing racism. So it's too early for your kids to talk about it, but not too early for my kids to experience it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's not too early for your kids to shove it out. Like, that's a hard topic.
Yeah.
And I think that's super unfortunate. We've been really lucky because our kids are exposed to so many different people that, mm-hmm. you know, I love the fact that when I do go see them at school and they get to pick friends to come sit with us at lunch, that it's been a pretty good mix. And I've never heard of them. None of them have brought anything to me that said, hey, you know, somebody was mean to this person or I don't like this person because of this. And I'm thankful for that. But I do think mm-hmm. that the subject needs to happen. I mean, it should happen at home, obviously. But again, they are out of our hands for 8 hours a day. The subject still needs to happen.
Right. And people, I think schools walk like a fine line because in some aspects, parents want schools to fill all the needs. But then when the school tries to fill all the needs, the parents are upset. Well, like, that's not what I wanted you. That's not what I wanted you to do. That's not how I wanted you to do it. So we're almost like we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Like, what the hell do you want us to do? Because you want us to do these things, but then you don't want us to do these things.
Right. You want us to teach your kid to be a good person, but you don't want us to do it in the way that's actually going to make them a good person.
Right. Because then parents. My kid might see that I'm not a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Parents want the schools to fit their narrative.
Yes.
Versus
yes.
the narrative of how the world actually works.
Yeah, I mean, we've right. got to remember that we do not live in snow globes. You know, there's a
no.
These kids are going to leave. Some of them are going to travel. They're going to go to places that they've never been before, mm-hmm. around people that they've never been around. And you're throwing them to the wolves because they're going to say something stupid because they were never taught better. And then they're going to get hurt, mm-hmm. and then you're going to be upset because your kid got hurt, but it was because of ignorance.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
That makes no sense to me. This is why I stay in my house and talk on the radio, because I don't actually have to be around people. I just don't understand
yeah.
people.
It's hard. People are difficult to understand.
They are.
And
they are.
A lot of times, too. Yeah, when we talked, you know, when we were talking earlier about, like, the curriculum and in schools and why schools aren't teaching a lot of these things, and we talked about, like, Jim Crow and, like, segregation and all of that stuff, too, and I think it's when we talk about, when we bring up certain subjects like that, like, in schools and, like, kids go home and talk about it, parents or grandparents might not want to tell their grandkids that, hey, I was, you know, one of those people that didn't want black kids coming to my school. Because they
yeah.
don't want it's not a comfortable topic to talk about. And again,
yeah.
we talked about like how we don't really tell the truth about like our founding fathers because we're afraid that people are going to realize that our heroes weren't always heroes, and it could be the same thing within our families too. We don't want our kids to know that we're not perfect, that we have our own biases, and so for anyone to say that I don't have a bias is nonsense. It's complete bullshit because we all do.
They get something, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has a preference in some way or another that they
mm-hmm.
are not willing to change from. And that may not, you know, it doesn't necessarily make them a bad person because it really depends on their preference. I'm not going to word it correctly, whatever. But it doesn't mean they're a bad person, but everybody has something that they only like this thing this way.
It's like choosing your mate, your husband, wife, spouse, whatever.
Right.
You know, if you are a certain person that's attracted to a certain person.
That's okay.
That's okay. As long as you're not segregating those others. You know, it's okay for you. It's okay for a white man to only be attracted to white women, but
right.
can recognize the beauty in other cultures and other races. It's just that's what they...
Everybody has a preference.
Yeah.
Some people don't. I mean, here's the thing. I think that it's...
I hope that didn't come out wrong.
No, I don't think it came out wrong, but I do think that... I think that everybody should also recognize the fact that if you can put aside only searching for one kind of person, you may find that this person over here is your person and you never even saw them coming. But if you're not willing to give them a chance simply because of, you know, race, religion, or skin color, then you're missing out on probably the happiest time of your life.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to have a preference, but I think it's better to say I have a preference, but I'm open to anything. You know,
yeah.
I'm not going to not talk to this person or have a fun conversation with this person simply because they're different than me.
Then it goes from preference to bias to prejudice.
Yes.
And that's what I was.
I was trying to help you.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to, you know, alliterate sometimes because I don't want to, you know, upset anybody.
When I think of preference, it's, you know, maybe I'm definitely not using store brand macaroni and cheese because I already know it's Kraft. I'm only going to use Kraft.
Right.
And I'm not going to change from that. And you can't change my mind on that. That's not
preference. That's bias.
And
that's
precious. I already know that the store brand is crap. I'm not changing my mind.
But no, it's okay for you to have a preference of what type of person you want to be with, as long as you don't exclude the possibility
that somebody else might make you happy.
Yeah.
Don't eliminate your options.
Yeah, yeah. Because listen, guys, listen. You're never going to find exactly what you thought you were looking for. You might end up with me. So,
oh shit.
I'm just saying, like, don't put those options off.
Look, I'll be honest. It was definitely not the type of person I was going for. But if Angel is the one that I saw, so
yeah.
Wasn't your first option either.
That's true. I was second option. It's cool. Ouch.
Wow. Wow. Way to...
I'm not going to come back to that because Alex is my stepson, and anything I say is probably going to come out wrong.
Not better or worse, different.
Yeah, it's whatever. Shut up.
Well,
I don't know. I think you're absolutely right, though. I think that you can't definitively say that you have zero bias or zero bias on absolutely everything in the whole world. You can't say that you're 100% open to everything. That's ridiculous. It's a lie. That's like looking at somebody who says, well, my spouse and I have never had a fight. We've never disagreed on anything. Well, okay, then you're probably living a lie, because
you're not living
that's
your
not
life,
real.
You know.
You're not happy.
Yeah, you're not.
Yeah, that's happy. That's not reality. We all have something in our lives that we're not willing to sway on, and that's okay as long as it's not impacting everybody else. Stop teaching your kids to be jerks, man.
Be stop. That's it.
Yeah, seriously, like. Yeah, I just want one good school year. We could go through one school year without somebody's kid being an apple. I would be so incredibly happy.
Basically, so what this whole show boils down to is look at the content of a person, not the color of their skin.
But appreciate them for who they are.
Yeah,
no matter what.
Show.
I mean, okay,
yeah,
so.
That book talked about inclusivity. It had nothing to do with color of skin.
Yeah.
If that person has one leg, you still better treat them right. They might not be able to play tag with you, but you can do something.
It was mainly about like how people are different, and you can appreciate them for who they are.
Yeah.
Just because they're different doesn't mean you got to be an ass to them.
Right, right. I mean, now to be fair, Dan's an ass to everybody, but it doesn't mean
look, I'm an inclusive ass, okay? I'll be an asset
to everybody.
To everybody.
No, I think what I do want to say, though, is I hope that people in our own community take a moment to look outside of the box and outside of the stories that were put out and the obviously biased opinions from, I'm not going to say it's not your right to have that opinion. You are who you are, and if that was your child in that class and you felt it was wrong, you know, whatever, that's your prerogative. But to the parents that have never dealt with this teacher, that are going to be dealing with this teacher this year, don't make a judgment now based on somebody else's opinion because you haven't formed your opinion yet. You can't have their opinion. It's not yours.
That's why we have parent-teacher conferences.
Yeah, like, stop going for
the... Let's be
the,
honest, a lot of those parents who probably complain never attended a parent-teacher conference. So they don't even
right?
know this teacher is probably wouldn't be able to point them out on the street.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and they probably never read the book. And, I mean, I highly... I think it was just, it started out with a couple angry parents who went into a wildfire in a time when things were obviously pretty stressed in that area. But I just think that, I'm trying to put this in the nicest way possible. I think it was one class of people and we are all feeding off of it, or, you know, people are feeding off of those stories and those opinions. You're not having your own opinion.
Bunch of entitled people that want to express their opinion.
Well, just for the love of God, show me that you are bigger than that and you can form your own opinion. Take 5 minutes
mm-hmm.
and talk to people outside of the situation. God, talk to the teacher. Give her an opportunity to speak for herself. Talk to the principal that we all are so excited to have this year and trust that she knows what she's doing.
The thing is, any of these parents bother... Any of these parents that went on and, you know, were pissed off at the teacher, did they even bother to read the book or to watch the YouTube video? It's literally 8 minutes out of your life. Did they bother to educate themselves before they formed an opinion?
I'm sure they didn't. And
mm-hmm.
just like this man, this
mm-hmm.
this person said here that people have only gotten misinformation about the situation and brought out their torches and pitchforks, that it has had an actual tangible impact on this teacher, on her family. They've gotten
mm-hmm.
threats. They've had to take security measures. For what, guys? It was a storybook. Are we really that culture now that we are going to physically
yeah.
and verbally attack somebody to the point of being scared for their life because they read a storybook to your kids in school?
Yeah.
Because they were
the
doing
up?
The job that
mm-hmm.
you should have been doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even if I was hot under the collar and had a whole different opinion on the subject and hated the idea and listened to the story and still hated it, am I going to go hunt this teacher down and threaten to kill her? No. Come on. People got to be better. Y'all are adults. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people.
These are people that are around our kids. That's what.
Yeah. And these are the people. The adults, and these are the parents that are showing their kids and teaching their kids about hate.
Every day.
Yeah.
Because
they're literally showing hate to this teacher when
they don't even know her.
They don't know the teacher. They don't know.
And whether they realize that, like the parents, whether, I'm going to cut you off, but
no, go ahead.
Whether the parents realize it or not, like, I'm not teaching my kid hate. Well, you kind of are if you don't realize it because you're not showing them the proper way to handle this situation.
Yes.
How they handled it was ridiculous and stupid. And, you know, now the children are going to see that and be like, well, that teacher was ridiculous and stupid. Now we all hate her.
Mm-hmm.
But the situation
mm-hmm.
just got taken way out of control.
And the thing is...
Like she said, take 2 seconds. Just talk to her.
Learn something. That's all. Parents...
Thing is parents talk in their house and kids can sometimes hear the conversations that parents have.
They always hear yeah.
And if the parents are talking about hate, they're talking about, you know,
well, those kids have already, at least in our community, I would say 50% of these kids are going to walk into the school that day already hating a teacher that they knew nothing about.
Yep.
Who could be the greatest art teacher that they've ever had in their life.
Could be the biggest influence on their
Absolutely.
Life.
Now, I'm not saying, I can't give an opinion on this teacher because I don't know her.
But she's teaching
I may
school district
end up
now,
not liking her. I may end up loving her. That's really, it remains to be seen, but I'm willing to give her the opportunity to be the teacher that she's supposed to be for our kids. I don't like all the teachers. They all know it. I have not made my opinion quiet when it comes to the school system. And when I feel like something is wrong, I'm the absolutely one of the first ones to walk in there and say, this is happening. I don't agree with it. I want a meeting. Do that. Don't go after somebody's social media or, you know, be a keyboard warrior because it's not real life and threaten somebody. You know, be adults. Be real people. We are not in quarantine anymore. It's okay to leave your house and actually go do something productive.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
like. Yeah, I'm gonna say like one like I like what's more harmful to a kid, like listening to this book, something that happened in our town, or listening to their parents bash one of their favorite teachers.
Yeah, and I have heard a number of parents say that this teacher in particular is wonderful, and that their kids truly loved her. On a differing opinion, I am willing to say, not walking into this automatically thinking she's a bad person and a bad teacher, because I'm intelligent enough to think I should probably form my own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
irrational about it.
So the person that has been conversing with us this evening on Facebook Live.
Right.
Is not the teacher, which I know because I know her name.
Right.
I'm not giving out the name because you don't need it,
people. It's not.
Mm-hmm. Took me 5 minutes, but you don't need the name. She needs to be left alone. But they are very close to the situation, and they do know all the details that happened and probably are talking to the teacher. But, and that's fine. I appreciate the feedback.
Yeah. I really hope. I know it's not going to happen. But I really do hope that there are enough parents that will ignore the previous hatred towards this teacher and decide that, you know, she's in a new school system.
Because now if you think about it, it's probably unfortunate for her because somebody leaked it, but was supposed to be an opportunity for her to escape what she was going through at the other school.
Yep. So he did write, you know, if y'all have questions. The situation needs to be de-escalated. And I 100% agree.
Yeah.
It does. We need to be able to accept this teacher for credentials, for their credentials, and for what they can bring to the school system.
Really, no, literally, none of us, I could almost 100% positively say that none of the people that I read comments from know shit about this person. So your opinions are absolutely formed from bad news coverage and other people's opinions on a situation that they themselves didn't inform on.
Right.
It's not fair. I don't know who the person was that initially, like, decided they needed to dive deep into it, find out where she was going next. They obviously had an issue. I would say a mental issue. But it was unnecessary. We should have been able to start the school year never knowing.
Yeah. And even if we did know, it should have been just not even a minor situation, just a fact of, you know, what she was teaching in the past, not all the drama that came after it.
Okay.
Like, she doesn't need to walk into the school system and have all this
have people hate
drama
her
following them.
Yeah.
It's
sorry, girl, I got you. I don't hate. I'm 100% not afraid to tell everybody else shut the fuck up either. I don't care.
Yeah. You know, get to know somebody before you form an opinion of them, period.
There are plenty of people, there are plenty of teachers out there that, you know, people have stuck on a pedestal and raved about that turned out to be crap people.
Yeah.
that were not what I would have imagined for my children to have. But then there are teachers that other people have complained about and absolutely hated that turned out to be their favorite teachers. I mean, that's all one person's opinion. There's a really great example. When our oldest daughter was in fifth grade, she had a teacher. We did not get along, so to speak, at all. Like, did not get along. A lot of words were said. And we ended that year thinking, okay, good, it's over. You know, then our daughter entered second grade.
I think it was third grade.
It was second grade.
Second
grade. And found out she had the same teacher. Now, the two daughters have different last names, so she had no idea who the parents were. That's fine. When we walked into the classroom, there was absolutely a sense of discomfort between both of us, but I wanted to start the year fresh. It was a different, you know, our girls are different. See how it goes. This teacher was phenomenal with our youngest, was phenomenal, and is still her favorite teacher. And my views of her are completely different because, you know, different kids need to be taught different ways, and sometimes you're not going to agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. It's okay to not agree, but don't go into the situation already hating somebody. And that is my opinion for the evening. I know nobody cares. It's great. But I just want to say thank you so much, Stephanie, for joining us tonight and for lending us your insights, like all of the conversation.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I enjoyed having this conversation.
I did too. It was wonderful. And you better give those two little boys some big hugs and kisses from their auntie. Because,
can you hear them? Can you hear the youngest talking?
In case nobody knew, those are my nephews in the background, and they're beautiful.
Yes. Yes, they are.
See, he's got an opinion, too. Hi. That was my first time from him.
Oh,
are you crying? Don't cry.
Maybe a little bit.
She's smiling up a little bit. Don't let her fool you.
I cannot wait to see those boys.
I know. We'll see you soon. We'll see you soon.
I hope so.
All right. Bye. Bye. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. I hope you guys have a great night, and hopefully we get to talk again soon.
Yes, yes. Thanks again.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Good night.
All right. All right. What a hot topic show we had tonight. I'm sure I'm going to be the least favorite of some people's opinions, and that's okay. I'm used to it. But I hope some people got something out of it, too, and learned something and maybe made a new opinion on the situation, or at least have opened their minds to the possibility of things not being exactly what they've been told.
So I'll be honest, I did have a little bit of trepidations with this teacher coming to the school simply because of what I had heard about on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
But I educated myself. I educated myself on the book. I educated myself on what the book was. And we all got educated from, you know, one of our...
from family.
Well, yeah, from...
From family who see things from a whole different view,
yeah.
You know?
And from the, you know... the listener on Facebook.
Yeah. I went into it with the same trepidations you did. I guess the plus and the difference is that we do have this outlet, and we're not going to walk into this outlet uneducated. So it gave us an opportunity to really kind of dive in and see what was really going on.
Yeah.
And kind of made us, like, take a step back and look at it from another point of view, because it would be a boring show if we went into it just bashing the book and the teacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be boring, you know?
It would have been incorrect.
It would have been spreading more disinformation.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to form your opinion for you, but I hope that this show gave you the opportunity to step back and say, maybe I need to read the book. Maybe I need to stop and think about it for just a minute.
That's all I ask. Yeah. Step back and educate yourself on situations that are happening and form an educated opinion. Because you can have an opinion and you can have an educated opinion.
And I'd rather you have the educated opinion, honestly. And I feel better. I feel 100% better now walking into the school year. For myself, I don't feel better right now for her. And I hope things change. I hope discussions happen. I hope people stop just following the lead in, like, Facebook posts, you know, how somebody will change the narrative and then everybody's like, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. I hope people stop doing that.
Yeah.
Start standing up for what you know is your opinion. I can't say if it's the truth or not because I wasn't there, but stand up for yourself and what you believe. On that note, it was a really great show.
It was
a really great show. And
I always love talking to Stephanie. She's
so educated.
She's so
smart.
She's so well-spoken. Not well-spoken, sorry. Outspoken.
Yes.
And
that's my favorite thing.
Yeah. And I love talking to her because I always learn something.
I love it because I know that her and I don't always have the same opinion on things. And I love to see her side of certain topics because it's that back and forth. And one or both of us can learn something.
Yeah.
But I do want to say thank you to everybody that did listen in tonight. I hope you got something out of it. I hope it was an enjoyable show for you. I want to say thank you to Dan, Alex, and Stephanie for being on with us tonight. And hopefully we'll be back next week. Now, in the world of Wicked Curiosity Media, Wednesday night is Cinephiles.
Yes.
So we will have Cinephiles with Dan and Alex. And then, unfortunately, I do believe that Note by Note is still on hiatus, and we are trying to work that out. But Sunday,
yes,
there will be a movie of the week on Behind the Screen. So, that was a lot of talking. But thank you, guys. We love you guys. Have a safe night. Be smart. Be educated. Do your thing. Don't be racist. Have a good night.
Good night.
Strip it down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things.